The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan. Oh, Bill Kundafu has no sound.
Uh-oh, am I alive?
You're playing musical chairs with the microphones again.
Oh, well,
Bill's fired.
I knew this wasn't my mic, but they said use it.
You look like you're on mic three, but you're actually on mic four there. Okay.
It's like Joe Dirt.
This is like
got
Joe
mic
Dirt.
One.
Got mic
like,
one, mic
that's
two.
That's exactly where I was going. Sad is that. We usually have some sort of a pitfall.
Yeah, step up to the mic.
And the person who's in charge of us that we blame for all of this is Bob Martin, our engineer. But since my mom's also in the studio, I guess we could blame her today. And she says, you're not going to make me say anything. So you don't have to. She just nodded her head. That's it.
That's it.
Easy as it comes. Okay, so we're going to get right to it because we only have an hour with Mr. McQuillan today. And we don't want to cheat anybody out of this because it's a huge topic. So.
Yeah, how many folks out there have state or federal or local pensions that are totally safe? Never going to get chopped into.
No, or they're, you know, taxpayers, in which case they're paying for them. So, you know, it's in everyone's vested interest that we get this thing handled. And I think unless you're in denial, you know, there's some kind of a problem out there. So we've got an expert for you. He has written a book called California Dreaming. Subtitle is Lessons on How to Resolve America's Public Pension Crisis. And Lawrence McQuillan is a senior fellow and director of the Center on Entrepreneurial Innovation at the Independent Institute. Their website is independent.org. Really easy. He's frequently a guest on all sorts of big programs, Fox Business, CNN, C-SPAN, NPR, and is written up in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chronicle, Chicago Tribune, all over the place.
Yeah, busy man.
So the important part is, because we're sending this program to our friends in Philadelphia, the book is entitled California Dreaming, but he obviously goes into what's happening across the country and in many, many other states. They're being affected as well. All right, so that's the end of my knowledge, and the rest of the show is now all about Lawrence McQuillan. Are you in there, Lawrence?
No. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Bill.
There we go.
Hello, Lawrence. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay. Thanks. It's great to be with you.
All right. So, huge topic, and you can take it wherever you'd like to go. We're not really sure how this all started, so I guess maybe how did we get into this mess?
It is a mess. It's right now it's about a $4.7 trillion deficit, that's with a T, across the country. I mean, some states are in worse condition than others. Illinois, New York, Texas, Ohio, New Jersey are in really bad situation. But the worst of them all is California, which has right now a $750 billion unfunded pension debt. It's a huge problem, and now politicians are scrambling to come up with the money to fund it. Keep in mind, I mean, this is $750 billion unfunded pension debt, and this is money that should be in the bank today to pay for the promises that have been made and the pensions that have been earned, but the money's not there. And now politicians are scrambling to come up with the money to pay for this problem.
Well, I'm a little confused, Lawrence, because I just heard Jerry Brown the other day said California now, because of the big tech explosion, we have a big surplus now, so he's going to implement new things, spend more money. So what about that surplus?
Yeah, well, that's the problem is they've been spending the surplus on other things rather than putting it into the pension plan. And that's kind of how we got into this problem. For decades, politicians have increased the pension benefits in California, but also for decades, they failed to put the money in on a regular basis into the pension plans to fully fund them. And instead, they spent the money on other things. And so that's how we got into the mess we're in today in California. And the story is very similar across the country. I mean, the same problem occurred in Illinois and New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, that are facing similar huge deficits like this. Politicians have mismanaged these pension plans. They've spent the money on other things rather than putting it into the pension fund, but at the same time they increased benefits because, let's face it, I mean, people like higher pensions when they retire, and it was an easy way for them to buy votes and campaign contributions.
Was this one of the major reasons Detroit went down the tubes?
It was, absolutely, yep. Detroit's obviously the biggest bankruptcy due to unaffordable pension costs, but other cities, of course, in California went bankrupt over the same thing. Vallejo, Stockton, San Bernardino have all gone bankrupt over unaffordable pension costs. But, yeah, the granddaddy of them all was Detroit, which didn't have the money to pay for its pensions and other services. I mean, in fact, they were turning off streetlights. I mean, that's how bad it got in Detroit. And ultimately, the federal bankruptcy judge there in Detroit ruled that the city could reduce pension checks for current retirees. So they could actually reduce the checks that are paying former government employees in Detroit. And people there, you know, assumed these were sacrosanct. They could never be reduced. But here we were facing that situation where they were being reduced because the money just wasn't there, and they weren't putting in the money responsibly year after year in the pension plan.
So if you're a current, say you're a current retired California state employee and you're, you know, kicking back, living on your pension, that may not be necessarily
written in
safe.
Stone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think most government employees today or, you know, retired government employees assume that money's going to be there. Are counting on that money being there, and yet, as been shown in Detroit, it's not absolutely assured. The money could not be there, and then the checks will have to be reduced. As I mentioned, Stockton also went bankrupt, and the federal bankruptcy judge there ruled that Stockton could also reduce pension benefits for current retirees if they chose. It ended up that Stockton chose not to go that route, but again, they were given that option if they wanted to reduce pension checks for current retirees. So, yeah, I think government employees in California need to realize that these pension checks aren't necessarily guaranteed anymore. And it's really important, therefore, then to make sure that the money is there and to take the steps that are going to be necessary to fully fund these pensions that have already been earned.
How does, you know, this is kind of a, it's a shifting system because they withdraw, they hold some money from the from the worker during their time of their employment. And then the entity, whatever it's city, county, state, they pay into it, but it has a lot to do with how the investment market is going.
Right, yeah. How the defined benefit pensions work is that the government employer and typically the government employee contribute a certain percentage of salary every pay period or monthly into the pension fund, and then the pension fund invests that money, and the plan is that ultimately 20, 30, 40 years down the line when the employees retire, the investments would have grown to the amount necessary to pay for the pension benefits. But yeah, that's one of the problems was volatility in the stock market. I mean, not just in 2008, but also, you know, the dot-com bubble and things like that. And pension funds in California were really too heavily invested in equities and real estate, and their portfolios were really susceptible to high-risk changes in volatility and returns. And so that's one of the problems. But if you look at in California, that these pension funds were really trending downward way before the Great Recession. So I know the pension funds like to kind of blame this problem on the 2008 recession, but since the late 1990s, the pension funds have been trending towards an unhealthy position, primarily because, as I mentioned, the benefits just kept being raised. In fact, in 1999, not only were benefits raised, but the raise was made retroactive. So very irresponsible management of these funds, and so now we're in the position we are today with this massive $750 billion deficit.
Lawrence, what, you know, we hear all the time that, you know, like Social Security, they're saying now that there's more people drawing Social Security than are actually paying in, and so it's just going to run out of money. In California, on this pension situation, do you know what the ratio is of workers that are currently paying into the program versus the amount of people that are drawing it out? I mean, is that a number we need to worry about, or is it strictly the return on investment that's killing the fund?
Well, it's more so the increase in the benefits relative to what's been contributed. I mean, for decades, they've been lowballing the contributions the politicians have so that, in effect, then it would free up money that they could use for other programs. So that's really the big problem, is that the work just consistently wasn't managed financially responsibly over the years. But yeah, there is an imbalance. I mean, soon I think there's going to be more government retirees and people paying into the funds, which is, you know, that wouldn't be a problem, though, if they had funded this, you know, consistently over time, which is what you want to do. I mean, ideally what you want to have is about 110% of obligations in the bank, so that you always kind of have a cushion there in
sure.
case the markets fluctuate. But nationally, these pension funds are less than 40% funded. In California, I mean, they're less than, in some cases, less than 20% funded. So they're really in a precarious situation. You know, there's from the politician's point of view now, they're scrambling to come up with the money, and they've been doing a couple things. One, which is reducing services. So essentially what they've been doing is taking money from core government services like police and fire and schools and libraries and taking that money and putting it into the pension plan. So that's one approach. And the other approach has been obviously just to increase taxes and take in more money and put it into the pension plan. But the bottom line is, I mean, that means more resources going to pay for pensions and less resources to go for, you know, core government services that people count on, especially in a blue state like California, where most people like their government services and, you know, they don't like seeing money diverted from core things that they expect to be there, like, you know, filling in potholes and maintaining the roads.
Right. We have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, one of our guests in the chat room has asked, with CalPERS invested in bonds, if the Greek, you know, situation takes off and bonds crash, does that explode the unfunded amount? Is that kind of the balance point that you're describing?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely won't help. I don't know how heavily, you know, involved they are in European bonds or Greek bonds, but I think that kind of contagion could spread, and it certainly wouldn't help. I mean, they're at such a huge deficit at this point, though, that, you know, they're in big problems no matter how the markets perform, and there's no way they're going to invest their way out of this. We need radical structural reform of the public pension plans in California. A little bit of more earnings here or there is not going to fix this problem.
Well, that's good to know, because I know that when the markets were performing really well, I know, like, different cities and counties were putting less in, so they felt like they could increase the benefits because their contribution was low at that time, and they kind of didn't
right.
factor in, gee, if the market goes down the tube, you know, their percentage is going to go way up, and they might not be able to handle that. We're going to come right back with Lawrence McQuillan. We're discussing the public pension crisis. I really like your subtitle, Lawrence, Lessons on How to Resolve America's Public Pension Crisis, because it isn't just a city, a county, or a state, and you've got some really good ideas on how to fix it. So we're not just going to talk about how bad it is. We'll talk a little bit about how to fix it when we come back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Or maybe we'll just keep talking. Oh, no, here we go. We'll be right back.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. What shall we do?
Nice theme, Bob.
That's our state capital taking the money and running.
That's what's happening in a lot of states.
Yeah.
And so there are guys in Philadelphia that will be listening to this Tuesday. It's happening in their state, too. It's everywhere. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and you can always hear the archive or catch the rest of the information, especially about the book, California Dreaming, Lessons on How to Resolve America's Public Pension Crisis. Our guest today is Lawrence McQuillan. All right, Bill's got a burning question.
I got a burning question, but we had somebody in the chat room brought up a great point.
Those guys.
Now they're trying to tax the CalPERS energy portfolio for its carbon footprint here in California. So, you know.
They're talking about divesting out of all fossil fuels, which is going to make their portfolio worth less than it was before.
Yeah, anytime there's money in a fund somewhere, they're going to try to get their hands on it for whatever reason. My question, Lawrence, is, you know, we're going to talk about some solutions here. I know locally new employees, new hirees, aren't given the same benefit package that past employees have had because of the unfunded portion. Is that something that California has implemented or has considered implementing on new employees, or are they just going straight along with the program and everybody gets the whole basket?
Yeah, that is something. In 2012, the state legislature passed a bill that put new hires after a certain date into a lower tier, a tier with reduced pension benefits. The problem with that, though, is fixing the pension system is kind of like trying to turn a blimp. Like, you turn the wheel, and then about 6 miles later, you know, the blimp starts to move.
Right.
Because it's such a tsunami. I mean, it builds over time. Like, the people that are in the system today that are working their way towards retirement and will retire soon, you know, these were people that were hired under the old plans, under the more generous plans. So you still have to pay those benefits. So anything that you do today for new hires, really, you're not going to see the advantages of that for 20, 30, 40 years in some cases. I mean, you'll have a little bit of a reduced current obligation, but still, the big bang in terms of the savings comes long down the road. So this accumulated debt that we have today, it doesn't really do anything about that, the changes that have been made. I mean, that's still an obligation of the state or the cities or the counties. They're going to have to come up with that money unless they want to walk away from those promises through bankruptcy or something like that. Otherwise, this debt is there. These benefits have been earned. The people have already done the work. And so now we're scrambling somehow to come up with the money to pay for that. And in the book, I have certain recommendations that will at least allow it to be done in a way that makes sense and is guaranteed, ultimately, to pay off this deficit.
I know at one time CalPERS was the largest investment or pension investment fund on the planet. Is that still the case, or is this unfunded thing?
It's the largest in the U.S.
Oh, in the U.S.?
It's the largest in the U.S., and in CalSTRS, the pension plan for teachers in California, that's the second largest. So we have the largest and the second largest in the United States right here in California.
And they're both sucking wind?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, they're both in terrible financial shape. And one point that was made before the break that is very important is that you mentioned that, you know, when good times are here, you know, the kind of happy days are here again. The returns are going to save us. That's what the pension plans always say. The problem with that, though, is when happy days are here again and the returns are booming, that's when the politicians increase the benefits again. You know, we saw this during the dot-com bubble when returns were high. That's when they passed the largest pension benefit increase in the history of California. And not only did that, but they made it retroactive, which really busted the bank on these pension plans. So even good investment periods don't save us, because that's when the politicians act the most irresponsibly and increase the benefits.
Yeah, not helpful. How is it supposed to work? Like, in a perfect world, if you were going to start a pension plan now, what would you do? Like, if the city had no
obligations? Well, what I would do is copy what private companies have done decades ago, which is to transition out of these old-fashioned defined benefit pensions that guarantee a specific payment every month to retirees into a 401k plan. The state of Michigan has done it. The state of Alaska has done it. So this is not like pie in the sky. I mean, this is, these two states made this transition years ago. So it can be done. And so what I am proposing in the book is a defined contribution or a 401k plan, it's usually called, where the employer would make a certain percentage of your pay every pay period. They would deposit a percentage into a retirement account that would be controlled by the worker. It would be under their name. It would be portable. If they switch jobs, they would take the money. I mean, the money's theirs to keep. They could give it to their heirs. So it's a much more flexible, transparent, fiscally responsible system. And I show in the book that if we move to a 401k at the state level in California, a 10% contribution, which is really generous. I mean, most private companies provide like a 2-4% contribution. That's 2-4% of the employee's salary is contributed into a 401k plan. But I'm proposing a 10%. Even with a 10% 401k plan, the state of California would save more than $6 billion a year. Then they could take that savings and plow it back into the old defined benefit plans and pay that off. So by switching to a 401k, you actually generate the savings that you need to pay off this accumulated debt and do it in a way that wouldn't necessitate further cuts in public services or tax increases.
So I'm just guessing the union's not fired up about that idea.
No, they're not.
Just taking a stab at it.
Right. Yeah, but who is fired up though is a lot of voters in California, because 85%, according to the most recent survey, 85% of likely voters in California think that pension costs are either a problem or a big problem. So I think the public is way ahead of the legislators on this issue. I mean, I think they understand that this is a big cost, that there's no easy way out of this, and that we may have to do something substantial to, bail ourselves out of this without, further tax increases or service cuts. So I think the public would be open to a transition to a 401k here in California.
I know, Lawrence, you don't have a crystal ball, but at the current rate, what do you see in the future? I mean, is this something that's going to possibly collapse rather quickly, or are we looking 10, 20 years down the road?
The slow strangulation?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it depends on where you live. For example, former mayor of Los Angeles, Richard Reardon, predicted that Los Angeles will go bankrupt over its pension costs in the next couple of years.
Oh.
And that would be, that would be devastating. That would be huge. That would be bigger than Detroit in terms of the ramifications, I think. So I think it depends. And, of course, we've already seen Vallejo, Stockton, San Bernardino. I think there's other cities and counties in California that are teetering on the brink. It turns out that when about 20% of your revenues go to just retirement costs or above, which many cities are right there at that level, that's when cities tend to go bankrupt or they consider serious pension reform. And so I think, we're really on the brink here. And across the country, of course, Chicago is in a terrible situation. I mean, they have $30 billion of unfunded pension costs just for the city of Chicago alone. And I think this is why everybody in America needs to be alert to this problem, because I could see a congressman in Washington, D.C. proposing a federal federal bailout of the state and local pension funds across the country. I mean, Rahm Emanuel, he's a good friend of President Obama, and I could see him. I'd be shocked, actually, if he hasn't already approached the president and said, we need more federal money to solve this problem. And I think we're going to see more cities and counties across the country start to petition Washington, D.C. to step in to fix this. And that's the last thing we need, is another bailout. I mean, people in Maine, I know, don't want to pay for the pension costs in California. And they're, you know, the country doesn't need another wholesale bailout of a fiscal or financial crisis.
Well, so I think they don't ever fix it. They just keep doing it.
Well, they're just going to print more money, flood the market with more money, and it's going to be a huge...
That's their solution, will be exactly print more money and spend it on bailing out these state and local plans.
And then watch inflation take off.
I think, what's really needed is to do what I recommended earlier, you know, the structural change, this movement away from the old plans to the new. Most big corporations have done this decades ago. Most private companies of all sizes have done this years ago, because these big, defined benefit plans just are not sustainable, and they're so easy to financially mismanage.
Well, when you talk about bailouts, you know, if you're talking, you know, in relationship to how much money's out there, a small bailout, you're not going to really feel the effects of that. But if they bail out a national bailout of everybody's pension
plans...
Think
of how many pension plans are underwater, though.
Oh, we're going to be looking at 50 states. What happened in Germany. I mean, we're going to run around with wheelbarrows full of money and for a loaf of bread.
Right, yeah. Well, nationally, it's $4.7 trillion of unfunded public pension debt. Can you imagine a bailout of that size with more printed money to do that? I mean, you're looking at hyperinflation eventually.
My wallet just had a heart attack.
I mean, this is why it's so critical, I think, to make this change that I'm recommending, because it would be a way of not only solving the problem today, but also creating the savings that you need long term to pay off this debt that's already been accumulated, and do it in a financially responsible way. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, even with my plan. I mean, it's going to take 20 or 30 years, but at least you set up, I mean, just like any kind of bond, I mean, set up a repayment schedule. You'd make regular payments using the savings that you create from the transition to the 401k and pay off this debt in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, you gotta stop the bleeding first and then start turning the ship. But we're not even stopping the bleeding.
I'm curious to know a kind of a scenario, like, because I know people look at the defined pension or whatever it is. They know what they're...
Yeah, defined benefit?
Defined benefit. They know what they're going to get when they retire. With 401k, that would be different. So how about, let's take a really quick break, and when we come back, maybe paint us a scenario on both sides, because otherwise it's really easy to dismiss. A lot of people don't understand how the 401k would work, and so they'll fight it just because they don't get it. So let's spend a little time, and maybe we can... get that in focus for people. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Jerry Brown's lover, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's double funny then. Forgot. Yeah. little Lyndon Ronstadt for you.
Like minds, you know, they cling together.
You and Bob. Yeah.
So I remember when she got kicked out of the casino down there for blurting out some radical environmental wacko stuff.
Lyndon Ronstadt?
Oh, yeah. Casino owner came and told her to get off stage and get out of his casino and don't ever come back. Escort her to the door.
Huh.
What a guy.
Do you have any tape of that, Bob? No, never mind. Just kidding.
Yeah, I think that was more anti-war.
Was that anti-war?
Than environmentalism, I recall. It was...
How easily...
Caesar's Palace?
Is this one of those? Look, something...
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Lawrence, forgive them. It's like something shiny went by the window.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yellow bird.
Yellow bird. Oh, my gosh. So you're listening to We the People Radio, if you haven't figured that out already. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Lawrence McQuillan talking about public pensions and the crisis, actually, that is public pensions. So what do you think, Lawrence, like the comparison between what they have now with defined benefit and they know exactly what they're going to get when they retire at a certain age, but if they did the 401k plan, what does that sort of look like down the road for somebody?
Well, it's very interesting because the old defined benefit plans made a lot of sense when people worked for the same employer for like 20, 30, 40 years under the old hire and retire model.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, for example, I mean, he worked for the same company for over 40 years. But today, most people don't want to do that. So it turns out that most people actually will come out better under a defined contribution or the 401k plan because they move around a lot more. People just don't want to work for the same company anymore for 20, 30 years. People like their mobility. They like to be flexible. So it turns out that when you run the numbers, and many economists have done this, that for the majority of workers, they actually come out better under a 401k with under the, you know, the modern workforce than the old traditional plan. So I think a transition would be easier to sell to younger people because I think they understand it, they get it. You just need to show them the numbers and how it works.
Well, you're at the mercy of the market there, and you know the risk. You're not worried about the government coming in and blowing it and taking all your money. I mean, I think that's a big concern for young folks today too. Is they don't want the government interfering, the ones that have jobs, that is.
Right. Yeah, and as we mentioned with Detroit, I mean, you're not guaranteed anything anymore. I mean, now we've had two federal court bankruptcy decisions essentially saying the same thing, which is in bankruptcy, the cities and counties can reduce pension checks. So these aren't guaranteed anymore. And so I think, but if you kept the money, if you had a 401k, I mean, it's your money. It's yours to keep. And I think the wise thing to do would be to take the long view, invest it, you know, cautiously, prudently in high-grade corporate bonds or municipal bonds. Your rate of return is not going to be great, but then again, you're not, you know, investing in real estate in Taiwan or something either. I mean, you don't want to be risky with this money because it's meant to be there when you retire. So you want to take, you know, the long-term approach and gradually grow it, compounded interest, long-term, and I think that's the smart way to invest it. The pension plans actually have not invested the money smart. I mean, they've gone full force into real estate. Some of the pension plans in California are making loans overseas, direct loans to companies overseas that can't even get a bank loan. I mean, that's how risky they are. They can't get a traditional bank loan, but CalPERS and CalSTRS will give them money. They've acted so irresponsibly with the pension plan money because they know the taxpayers will always be there to bail them out if they need it.
Yeah, they can always squeeze just a little more blood out of the turnips.
Right.
And, the other thing that your plan would fix is that multiple pension situation. You know, the person who's a fireman for whatever they are, I forget what their cutoff is, but say they do that at the age of 20, retire at 50, and then they become something else that has a pension. So a lot
right.
of these folks have multiple draws on the system, and I'm sure that isn't helping either.
Yeah, double dipping, yeah, I think it's called. And there's also pension spiking where
that's
final year of compensation is used to determine your pension. And so what they do is they factor in, you know, unused sick days, unused vacation days, and oftentimes government employees, former government employees in California are making more in retirement than they did when they were working.
Yeah, and that's super cost efficient. We can really plan for that.
Oh, but they owe it to them. They worked hard. Come on.
Well, it's tough because this does create some value judgments. People get, you know, they don't want to be haters of our public folks. I mean, we all need firemen. We all need the police. And then it becomes that you don't like law enforcement or you don't like whatever. And how have you seen this dialogue go? Because I know here locally it turned into a brawl at one point, and it was all personal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the public employees try to paint it as a direct attack on them. But I think that's why it's important to have a generous alternative. I mean, what I'm proposing in the book, a 10% 401k, is still way beyond anything almost anybody would have access to in the private sector. So it would be replacing a, you know, extremely generous defined benefit plan with a very generous 401k plan. It's just that this way you can get the costs under control. And there's also this moral element to it. I think it's, you know, highly immoral to push this debt onto our kids and grandkids, which is what's going to happen if we don't step up and solve this problem today. This is going to get pushed on to our kids and grandkids who had absolutely nothing to do with accumulating this debt, and yet they're going to get stuck with this bill if we don't fix it today.
That's exactly it, because it is coming like a freight train in places that have had to cut back on their police and fire, as you pointed out. I mean, their cities just turned into
Oakland, they reduced their police force by 80 officers.
Oops.
Because they needed that money to pay for the pension costs. And immediately after reducing their police staff by 80 officers, Oakland Police Department announced that they were no longer going to respond to 44 different fines. So, I mean, I think that's highly immoral when you're changing, you know, public safety for pension costs. I mean, I think that's the tipping point. And I think that's the tipping point for most Californians. I mean, I think we're there. I mean, I think that's why most Californians, as I mentioned, 85% of likely voters see pension costs as a big problem. And it's because people are seeing these sacrifices of core essential public services like police and fire in the name of pension costs. And I think that, you know, we've gotten to the point now where this is no longer sustainable. We need to make some sort of radical change but yet, you know, not harm public employees, because we'll make good on the promises that were made in the past for the benefits already earned, and we're going to replace it with still a very generous 401k. It's just that the current plan can't go on any longer. It's unsustainable, both financially and morally.
And in your plan, the 401k would take over for people who are just brand new or people who are currently working? Does it replace everybody?
Well, I would like to see it apply to both current workers and new hires.
Sure.
Because that's where you get the significant savings that you need to pay off this debt. As I mentioned, you know, with the blimp example, if you just go with new hires, you're not really going to make significant enough savings, and the savings are going to happen, you know, 20, 30 years down the road. To really get a handle on this problem and to do it and to solve it without further tax increases and further service cuts, I think you need to kind of consider doing this across the board. No sacred cows, everybody's in, everybody would be impacted. But again, it would still be a very generous alternative, and an alternative that almost nobody in the private sector would have available for them, which is a 10% 401k.
Because you were saying private sector's 2 or 3%?
Yeah, 2 to 4% on average. Although even that, I mean, 55% of all workers in the private sector have no employment-based retirement plan whatsoever. So, but of the ones that do, they tend to be, you know, the 401k, but only a 2 to 4% contribution. And here I'm proposing a 10% contribution. Even at that extreme pension benefit, you still save more than $6 billion a year at the state level in California that you can then use to pay off the accumulated debt.
Now, if they're public employees, is this an optional thing? You know, is this the 401k? What if they decide they don't want one? Are they allowed to just not fund a retirement plan at all?
Well, the 10% would come from the employer. So there would be no requirement for the employee to kick in anything, although in some parts of the country and some parts of the state, I mean, you know, employees can add to it. They can make their own contribution if they want, but there would be no requirement. This would be a pension benefit provided by the employer to the employee.
I know in a lot of private practice, they have 401ks that have matching funds. They'll match a certain percentage of what you kick in. If you don't kick in anything, they don't kick in anything. And I think, really, that's not a bad idea. I mean, you have to show an interest in your own future security, or why should anybody else? And I think it's the same thing with the state and, you know, local governments. If people don't put forth an effort to secure their future, where is it written that the public
yeah,
is responsible
becomes their,
for
becomes
that?
Their parents.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with you, but what I did is I took, you know, the most generous 401k plan in the public sector. You know, as I mentioned, Michigan and Alaska, you know, both long ago moved in this direction. So that's how I came up with the 10%. I just took the most generous plan out there that's already being provided without any kind of match. But you're right, some parts of the country require, you know, a certain, like, to get the full contribution from the government employer, you have to match or at least put in, you know, a certain bare bones, like 2 to 3%, something like that. I have no problem with that. I think you're right. I think you should take responsibility, at least a minimal amount, for your own retirement.
Sure.
And have to put in something. But, you know, I provided the most optimistic scenario using current benefits that are provided around the country for 401ks for public sector employees. And even with that most optimistic scenario, you still get huge savings of $6 billion a year at the state level.
Wow. Well, that would solve a lot of problems. We need to take one last quick break. We are here with Lawrence McQuillan. And just in case you were thinking he was just some guy that had extra time on his hands and decided to write a book, he actually earned his PhD in economics from George Mason University and served in positions at the Hoover Institute, the Illinois Policy Institute, and Pacific Research Institute. So Lawrence actually does know what he's talking about, even though he has an easy answer, you know? Seems like it's always complicated here, but today's kind of an easy day. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, we need that decoded. What the heck was that? The Jerry Brown song?
This is one of the legendary West Coast punk rock songs of the late 70s, California Uber Alice by the Dead Kennedys.
And, you know, of course, Jerry Brown was in office then again, so we could...
Yeah, I think we could cross it over to adult contemporary now in 2015.
Yeah, probably.
Probably music.
It'll be music pretty quick. Oh, my gosh. Bob, you're killing us today. So, Mr. McQuillan, in our last, like, 5 minutes, what's the thing, you know, what's the stuff you'd really like people to know? Because most people are not looking at this, or they're just angry, and they're not willing to discuss it. They're either angry because you're talking about their pension, or they're angry because you're talking about their tax dollars. How do you get them all?
I'd like to leave on an optimistic note.
There you go.
2 weeks ago, a ballot initiative was filed by the former mayor of San Jose, Chuck Reed, a Democrat, who filed a ballot initiative to reform California's pension plan. This would be on the ballot in November of 2016, so there's a ways to go here. It needs to gather signatures to get it on the ballot yet. So it's still in the early stages. But what the ballot initiative would do, two things. One, it would require an approval by the voters for any pension benefit increases in the future. So if politicians want to increase pension benefits, which they've done in the past irresponsibly, in my opinion, the voters would have to approve that, which is, I think, is a very good step, since they're going to be stuck with the bill ultimately for this. So they might as well have the final say on any kind of pension benefit increase. So that would be one provision. And then the other one would be that as of a certain date, they pick January 1st, 2019, any new hire at the state and local level in California, government employee, any new government employee hire after that date would be enrolled into a 401k plan rather than the old defined benefit plan. So that would be the default going forward, would be the 401k plan. So it's a good first step. I think if it makes it to the ballot, I think, as I mentioned, I think the polling numbers show that the public realizes this is a significant problem that's gotten out of hand, and I think it would have an excellent chance of being approved at the ballot in 2016.
That's kind of great. And so who's really, you know, who's going to resist this? I'm guessing unions, but I could be wrong.
Right. No, you guessed right. It will be the public sector employee unions will oppose it very strongly. You know, expect a lot of misinformation and painting this as an attack on them. But again, I think it's important to have an alternative out there saying that, you know, we're proposing a very generous alternative here in my book. And I think that, you know, this is not about harming the public sector employees. It's about creating a sustainable path forward, which is, you know, competitive pension benefits and a way to create the savings that's required to pay off this huge accumulated debt. Unless we walk away from this debt, which I think would also be immoral, is to walk away what people have already earned. We have to come up with a way to fund it, and this is a way of doing it, is transition out of the old plan into the modern pension plans that businesses have chosen, you know, decades ago to move towards.
Well, I think that's what Scott Walker, you know, did or attempted to do in Wisconsin was get that public union under control, and I mean they made some great strides there, and they survived, and I mean the state didn't collapse, and so I mean it can be done.
Yeah, it can. In fact, for example, San Diego passed something similar at the city level, where new hires are put into a 401k, and you know the police union said, "Oh, we're going to have a hard time recruiting new police officers if we do this," and they ended up having the largest recruitment class ever in the history of the city of San Diego. So I think it's a myth that this will destroy the public sector employees in California. And in fact, I think it's going to create, you know, the savings we need to fund other programs like libraries and teachers and core essential services like firefighters.
Yeah, we used to have parks programs when we were kids and all sorts of things. And, yeah, you're right. We've cut a lot of that. Our time is up, but we are really thankful that you joined us here on Father's Day, actually. Thank you very much. We've had Lawrence.
Hey, it was great to be with you.
Thanks a lot. And his book is California Dreaming. The author is Lawrence McQuillan. We've got links on our website. It's Lessons on How to Resolve America's Public Pension Crisis.